Welcome to the Refuse Ordinary podcast. I'm your host, Tamara, and I'm so glad you've decided to join us on this journey of discovering who God is and who we are in Him. We are so excited to share with you today another class from our full-time School of Transformation. Today's topic is called Hindrances to Receiving His Love, taught by Chloe Wellsend. We hope you have a great listen.
As you can see, this is what we are talking about today. Hindrances to receiving love, what is getting in the way. And I know that you guys have also had a few classes this week that have looked at similar topics, correct? Yeah, with Lisa Kelly and with some others maybe. Luke maybe touched on a little bit of the barriers in his class too, which is totally fine because number one, we're all looking at it from slightly different angles. And number two, we can kind of never think about an area like this enough because we really just want all the stuff in the way to be gone. Right, and healed. So we are talking just in general today. I think you went into some real specifics earlier in the week, but in general, just hindrances that can be in our lives that can actually block this overflow, block this kind of flooding, breaking of a dam of love that wants to pour into our lives from God, who, remember, we did that class on He is love, not just He possesses a little bit of love and He can trickle out some little streams to us. But He, the full force of Him and who He is and His nature and His heartbeat and His character, He is love. And He wants to lavish us with the fullness of who He is. He wants to dwell completely inside of us. He wants to fill every space within us and be all in all inside of us, that we wouldn't depend on anything else or anyone else, only Him. He's the only way. And He wants to just snuggle up next to each one of us and just show us what that means. I will protect you. I will provide for you. I will show you who you really are. And I know you. I've made each one of you. I've designed you. I've said you're good. I know you through and through. And I've decided, and I have already intentioned towards and acted out in every possible way that I love you, right? Demonstrated most at the cross of Christ, but in so many other ways in our lives, right? And then here we are on the other end of it where we're like, that's lovely, Lord. And it sounds like this wonderful out there thing. And maybe it's for everyone else, but not me. But I just can't accept it, God. Or maybe I'm not good enough. Or maybe I don't even know how to connect with it. Or I've just got no grid for that stuff like we've talked about, right? But He's like, I know the way through. You've got all these hindrances and blockages that are in the way and you think are in the way. I know the way through. I know how to get exactly through every one of those mazes that we've set up, through every one of those walls that you've set up, through every one of those just big, overwhelming mountains in the way that you've set up in your lives. I know the way through. I'm big enough, and I'm good enough, and I'm strong enough. Will you let me in? Will you let me just prove myself to you and show myself to you, right? And so then we all have a choice today and every single day. And we can be terrified in our choice, and we can be angry in our choice, we can be anything in our choice, but we still have a choice. Will I let Him 1 inch closer, or will I hold Him back, right? So we're looking for a moment at just some of those things that are in the way, that get stuck in the middle of our relationship with Him. So have a think about it, start to process, and call out some of the things that you think that we have in our lives, or that we believe in our lives, or we do in our lives, that stop this just absolutely wonderful, intimate, walking in the Garden of Eden kind of relationship with the Lord that He made us for, right? So what would some of those hindrances and blockages be, do you think?
Reality.
Yeah, so what do you mean by that? If you just give me an example.
Life that we're living.
Yeah. So would it be fair to put with that then maybe the word experience, mm-hmm. like our experiences?
Physical world.
Yeah, the physical world, yeah. Anyone agree that relationships have sometimes been messy in our lives, right? Relationships. Any more examples? What's a hindrance?
Shame.
Yes. Oh my goodness. What could be a generic example of that? Anybody? Why would shame block my ability to receive God's love? Right.
You feel like you're not good enough.
There we go. There we go, right?
If I believe that I'm bad or wrong or evil or any of those things, I believe that I am to my core, do you think that I'm actually going to want the God of the universe and beyond coming close to me in my space? No, right? And this one who is love and is pure and knows all things and sees all things, we're going to probably react by wanting to keep him at a distance, right? Mm-hmm. But do you know what the beast is of that? Is that the entire thing of shame is all a lie. It's based on a lie and it is a lie. It's always a lie. We may have done some bad things, but it doesn't make us bad ever. So it's a lie, and because of this lie, we're holding back the possibility of a relationship and intimacy with the God of the universe and beyond, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and it's not even true. It's not even a real scenario that we're holding him away for, right? So we get to be separate from that lie. We get to reject that lie. We get to choose the truth and find out the truth and live on it and believe it in our lives and actually let him close, and it changes everything, right? But we even need him for the power of that lie to be broken. It's this cycle and this circle, right? Cool. What about... So linked with that one, self-image, self-hate. That's often a big one. And I'm just seeing here, what about hidden sin? How would that affect things? Right? Horrible. Right?
Right? Well, I can see that, so.
Right, right. And we know deep down. Exactly. Exactly, but we try to, hey, right?
Yeah,
that's the bad part, right? Right? But we know deep down that he can see it. And so it's this increasing cycle, right? What about lack of trust or fear? Which would be linking back to relationships, linking back to experiences, right? It's built up this whole pattern of stuff in our lives.
So you say what goes along with that is like compartmentalizing.
Yeah.
Where you're saying like, you can come into this place, but not this place, or not knowing that he wants to be a part of all of it all the time. Church's time with you, Lord. But when I'm working, that's work time, Lord.
So good. So good, right? So good, not knowing that he wants all. I love it. And that can scare us sometimes, right? Because the reason that we compartmentalize is we like to be in control. Hey, we're like, I can keep you in this bit of my life, and I'm okay with that because we've made an agreement over here. And I'll let you 1% into this bit of life because it's just about okay, even though it's a bit tricky. But over here, no, right? And it's just so unconscious for us, but it's how we live, you know? And also, because these relationships have been so affected in our lives, many times, many of us, and for a lot of the time, we haven't really learned what it is to have a continuous relationship. Is that fair to say, right? So, because we haven't always learned what it is to have a fully trusting, ongoing, never broken relationship, we just stop when things get tricky or we don't understand them, you know, in our hearts. So that's some examples up on the board. And then here, just a little summary that we're going to bring up. There might be a few different ones in here. So we've got that lack of basic trust foundation. We're going to talk more about basic trust in your identity month next month. So don't worry too much about that right now, but just know that we're meant to have this really healthy foundation built from being a baby. And you know when you can see like a baby with healthy parents that just really trusts and it's all good and all fine? We're meant to have that with people in the beginning, and then we're meant to have that with God. And if we haven't, it really breaks something in us being able to depend on God. Remember we talked about this chair, that when we sit on our chairs, we don't question, is that going to hold me? And we depend on it with all of our strength. We're meant to have that kind of relationship with the Lord. We've mentioned this one already, the way we see ourselves and others. You pack some lies in there and it's going to cause some issues. creating a heart of stone when we've been hurt so much and we've got all these woundings, all these pains in relationships, right? All these experiences. Have you ever noticed that kind of feeling of like crusting over of your heart? And it's almost like your heart stops fully beating, stops fully functioning because there's just so much pain in there, right? That was definitely my story in the past. And I used to cry out to God, like, why can't I feel?
why can't I connect with you? Why can't I feel your love? Now, at the time, I used to think love was just a feeling. So I was waiting for something that wasn't quite accurate with love anyway, right? But I was like, I just can't feel anything. And so I remember when I used to be able to start to cry, I was just like so happy because it was so weird, right? But I was like, I can cry. I have feelings. I can connect with my heart, right? So that kind of journey for us. Repressed emotions. Oh my gosh, that's a beast. Anyone ever done that? Don't raise your hands. right? We have shoved those babies down because we don't want to feel them, right? Well, that gets real tricky later on. Previous damage in relationships. Misunderstandings about God and his love. And this wonderful beast on the end. Rebellion and stubbornness of heart. Kind of linked with the repressed emotions and heart of stone a little bit. And we'll go into that more in Identity Month 2, right? But sometimes because of fear, because of pain, we can have shoved things so much that we can end up in these really hopeless, stubborn places where we've made these inner vows and judgments deep inside of ourselves. And we just decide, nope, I'm not going there anymore. You know? Okay. Three of many things that this does in our lives. I'll put them all up there for you to see. But there's many more consequences to this. But these are the three overarching summary statements I think we could put over this, right? We have a chance for full, complete relationship with God, but these hindrances block us from it. We are called into freedom, but these hindrances block us from it. And we are called to do incredible, massive things with the God of the universe and beyond living in us and through us to the world around us. But all of that gets limited and squished because of this, right? So just imagine, if I just put that visually for us. So the first one of those, we're meant to have this whole, complete, amazing, full relationship with God. Secondly, here, we're meant to live in this incredible freedom. And over here, there's an amazing plan and purpose and work that God wants to do in and through us. And if we decide, if we choose to hold on to and to live according to all of those hindrances, if I'm going to live in my life and say, I'm going to hold on to hate, I'm going to hold on to untrust, I'm going to let other people define me, I'm going to believe the lies, I'm going to stay distant from God, I'm going to do all of these things because I just can't, it's just too much, it's just too big, which is what we believe a lot of the time in it, right? We believe it's too big and we can't overcome it. And do you know what? Alone we can't. But we know God. This is not too big for him, right? But when we live in that place of whether it's fear, whether it's stubbornness, whether it's rebellion, whether it's decision, and just we're like, no, we put in that hopeless ending to it and we go, no, and I'm going to partner essentially, as hard as it is to say, right, with the enemy on this. I'm not going to plug into faith. I'm going to plug into fear and I'm going to stay in that place. When we do that, we do this. But we don't even a lot of the time know that we've done this. So we're still going to church and we're still like, Lord, I want your plan for my life. Thank you for the freedom that you've given me. Thank you that you're living in me and dwelling in me and you fill me. And we're singing the songs, but we're living like this. And it is not too much and it is not too big and it is not overcomable because everything is overcomable with him. He's big, he's vast. He created you. He created me. He's bigger than our problems. He's bigger than our shame. He knows exactly what to do. He knows the way. He knows the way to your heart. When I was in another school of ministry, someone came along one day and showed me this picture that always stuck with me and really helped me. And they said, I see this rose. And then on the top of the rose, I see these train tracks going around it right until the center. And God just wants to say to you that he knows the exact way to the core of your heart and he knows how to get there. And he's gentle and he's a gentleman and he's kind and he's going to do it in his own way and at his own pace, but you can trust him. He knows exactly where he's going and what he's doing. And for me at the time, because I was so blocked and so numb and so broken, It was just this hope of like, Lord, you know, like, this is not too much for you. Are you kidding me? This is too much for me, Lord. How can this not be too much for you? And he has been incredible with me. And I know he's already been incredible with you guys, but he's been incredible with me every step of the way. Just so kind. He knew where to start. He knew that I couldn't cope with going right to the center of that rose on day one. He knew that we had to start out at the edges. And he knew when I was ready for one tiny baby little step, and then when I was ready for a quick little run around the edge, and then when I was only ready for another little baby step, and then another run around. And he has walked with me step by step, just like he does with you guys. He's got this. He's got this. Will you let him have this? Will you surrender? Will you give up control? Will you lay down your decisions that you've made? Will you let go of the hopelessness? Will you let go of the lies? And will you let him in? He's God. He's God. And he's big and he knows what he's doing, right? The call. One of. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener, says Jesus. Famous verses in John 15, you may recognize them. Remain in me, and I also will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You catch that from verse 4 again? Remain in me as I also remain in you. And then at the end there, the end of verse 5, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But are you serious, Jesus? Because like, I think we've got a pretty good deal going on right now, right? Like, I am just going to hold on to my stuff. I'm going to hold on to the lies. I'm going to hold on to the hindrances. We're going to kind of just fake it until we make it on all this other stuff. I'm still going to go to church. I'm going to still say the right things. I'm going to still wear my cloak of Christianity. I'm still going to walk in my own self-righteousness. I'm going to show the world that I'm with you. But in my heart, I'm not walking in the freedom that you have for me. I'm not walking in the fullness of you living in me. And I'm not walking out your plan and your purpose in my life for me. Because really deep down, I'm not going to trust you. And I'm going to hold on to this stuff. But he's over here drawing us closer and wooing us in, saying, remain in me. And if we haven't even got into him yet to know how to remain, right? Come in. Come into the vine. He is good. He's really trustworthy, guys. He's really faithful. On your worst days and your worst times, and I know that you guys in this room have been through things I can't even imagine. On your worst times, he's faithful. And he's really trustworthy. And he's not going to leave you. And he's not going to abandon you. And he's not going to treat you like other people in your lives have treated you. And you can trust him. And he's saying, guys, come in. Come into this place of intimacy. And don't only just come in. Stay there. Set up home there. Bring your sofa in. Bring your coffee in. Bring your bed in. Make your home in me. Come in. And I will be with you. And from that place, you're going to bear much fruit. And then everything that we've put in that stops these things, do you know what? Has to leave and has to go. And guys, you get to be free and you get to walk out the plan and the purpose that he has for you. And you get to have the fullness of God living inside of you. You get to have that. None of us are the only person in the world who doesn't get to have that. None of us are too bad or too wrong in our thinking and doesn't get to have that. None of us is too broken and doesn't get to have that. We've got to boot those lies out and recognize them, right? You want to bear fruit in this life? Like real fruit, where people come and look at us as a body of people and look at you individually and go, man, they've got something. Do you want that? Are you willing to do the hard work to get there? Are you willing to, it's like this muscle of faith, right? Are you willing to position yourself time and time again, going, okay, God, I've got nothing, but I'm standing here. I'm standing before you. And it's 100% my act of faith here that is from him anyway, mixed with 100% your supernatural power, God. And I need you to work in my life because I want what you've planned on this earth. And I might not know what it looks like and feels like yet, I might not have any grid for the reality of this yet, but I've at least had an inkling. And what I've tasted, Lord, it's good. What I've tasted in you, Jesus, is good. It's enough for me to want to try more, right? So we're called into this remaining place with him. And also for this, John 13, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So that last set of verses from John was more about the intimacy with him part, and that as we remain in him, it's going to birth this good fruit. Well, a massive, massive portion of this good fruit and the outward portion of this is that we're called to then go and love other people. Do you think we've got any chance of loving other people if we're not in this right place with him? Thank you. Right? No. No. I used to think you could. Not consciously. You know, you never sit down and really think that, right? But the reality in my life showed that I thought you could. And again, some of it was unknown and some of it was known, right? But all this blockedness in me. And then I thought I could go out and just squeeze out droplets of my own love to people in the world around me, right? I just did my best effort. And okay, there was some good in that. But do you think that's going to transform people? Think that's going to change people? No. What is a droplet of one of our pieces of love compared to connecting them with God, who is love? And we get to call them into the kingdom and go, guys, I've met God and he's amazing. And do you know what? I was scared and I was terrified and I didn't know what was going on, but I met him and he's healed all these places in me and I know him and I love him and he's trustworthy and he's amazing. And you get to know him too. You get to be in relationship with him too. Isn't that awesome? Right? But we're never going to be able to share that testimony if we're going to be huddled in the corner over here going, nope, nope, right? Now, I'm not saying you can't have issues. We've all got issues. You're kidding me? We're on the journey of life, right? I'm not. So if you're sat there thinking, oh gosh, I'm in trouble because I feel so blocked and I feel so whatever. Number one, 100% identify with you. That was entirely my life, right? And there's hope on the other side of that, right? Mixed with, that's okay. We've all got that. That's okay, right? What I'm talking about is a refusal to move. So if we're in our hurting, broken, wounded place saying, Lord, help me, that's incredible. I love it. I love the faith of that, right? And the courage that that takes, because that's a brave thing to do. But when we're in our place, which was where I started 6 years old onwards, of essentially in our hearts, no, no, right? This is not even real and functioning in our lives. So I'm begging you guys, I'm calling you guys. I feel the heart of God, you know, in this just from him, right? Just please, please, will you trust me even 0.01% to try to come closer and give me the opportunity to show you? We're going to ask Jesus some questions and then we're going to have some ministry time together at the end, okay? There's one more question with this first block there that I want to add in. So whenever you do make notes of these things, I want you to also add in the question, is there anything that I need to repent for? So just at the top there. But in short, we're essentially just asking him initially, is there anything that's blocking me? Secondly, we're asking him to reveal to us any of the lies or beliefs that might be in there about him, ourselves, or others. And thirdly, we're asking him for strategy. Like, how can I move forwards? Where can I step from this place? So we've already talked about a whole bunch of the things that could potentially be blocking us. We've talked about what that does, what that leads to in our lives. But I just want to provide space just for us to have a real individual holy moment with Jesus for a little bit, right? We can think about these things generally all day long, and we can even think we know in our own heads what the problem is, and that's not what I want us to do here right now. I want us to ask the one who knows. I want us to ask Jesus himself what's going on, right? And do you know what, guys? We're doing it now today in a class, and you've done it some this week because it's really important. But we never want our ultimate focus to be zooming in on the problems. You focus in on the problems and we're going to get real stuck in life. It's not the focus. Focus on Jesus, the one who knows about the problems and can set you free from them, right? So that's all we're doing right now. We're fixing our gaze on him. We're going to ask him to reveal these main three things to us, any blockages, any lies, and any steps forwards closer to him. And we're just going to write down anything that he says to us, okay? And again, this is not to solve every problem in life all in 5 minutes. This is just, what does he want to show you today? Where does he want to start? Okay, so I'll put on some music. I'll pray. If you feel comfortable where you are, great. If you want to move around, you can move around. But Jesus, we come to you. You know what's going on in each of our lives right now and in the past, Lord. You know where we're all at. And you really, really want to set us free. You're more passionate about us being healed and set free and close to you than we are. And so we just want to partner with you in that. We want to fix our gaze on you. We want to step closer today. We want to hear from you. And we ask that you would change things deep inside of us, that you would show us things that maybe we've never known, and you would heal them, Lord, that you would break the power of any lies, that you'd set us free from hopelessness, that you'd heal the brokenness, that you'd kick out the shame, that you'd show us how to run after you. Because we want to know you and be known by you more than ever before. We want to love you and be loved by you more than ever before. And you are good, and we choose to trust you. I ask for each one of these people here today, Jesus, that you would just open their eyes, open their ears to whatever you want to show them right now. Would they hear your still small voice? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Refuse Ordinary. We hope you were encouraged, inspired, and even challenged to seek more of who God is and who you are in him. If you have any questions about the School of Transformation or would like to apply for our next semester, please go to transformationschool.org or send us an email at info@transformationschool.org. See you next time.